The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm your host, Chris Capone, joined alongside my co-host, Evan Davis. And can you believe it, Evan? Spring training is up and running, and baseball season is so unbelievably back. Players are getting back into game shape, and it feels so great to have my afternoons occupied with baseball once again. Now, Evan, how are you feeling about spring training so far?
I love it. I'm excited that baseball's officially back. It's crazy that we've already gotten to that time of the year, but it's always a great time of the year when baseball's back.
I know it seems like the baseball offseason just happens to be the shortest from World Series ending to players already signing by the end of November. It's just always a great time to see those new players get on their new teams. And some of the things I wanted to talk about were some of the prospect buzz going around the major leagues. James Wood looks amazing for the Nationals, yet another young piece coming along from that Nats deal with the Padres for Juan Soto, getting CJ Abrams in that deal. And now James Wood is looking like he's really coming into his own. So I was going to ask you, what players or prospects are you personally interested in watching over the spring?
Well, outside of the obvious choice of Jackson Holliday, I mean, my bias being with the Dodgers, I'm always looking at like some of their interesting prospects, like Andy Páez. But I think in general in baseball, we're here in Toronto, like Ricky Tiedemann's always a name that I'm looking at. He's ranked as like one of the best left-handed prospect pitchers in baseball. Just exciting names that are out there. The future is bright for baseball.
Yeah, and with Tiedemann unfortunately being scratched from his first spring training start, it looks like that kind of semi-debut because he pitched last year, but that semi-debut for the Blue Jays in spring training is going to have to be put on hold a little bit. But one of the other prospects that I was looking at was Spencer Jones and how he has been playing really good for the Yankees so far in spring training. And it looks like the Yankees were right for not including him in a deal for Corbin Burns. He had that 470-foot bomb the other day, and he's looked amazing, like the future of the Yankees outfield.
Yeah, and the Yankees are an interesting team because for how much money they have, like their prospect pool is never extravagant. So a guy like Jones who took that ball 470, like he's someone that the Yankees could definitely use. I don't like given how much outfield depth they have, I don't know how much they'll really use him this year. But nonetheless, if there's an injury, God forbid, here or there, Jones seems like a guy that they can rely on.
Yeah, one of the other ones is that just happened today was Jackson Holliday versus Paul Skenes. And unfortunately, while the game wasn't televised, it just goes to show that the future of baseball is bright. These two number one overall picks in back-to-back years are playing well in the spring training so far. One other question I wanted to ask you was what individual player, in your opinion, needs to have a good spring, whether that to be to shore up a rotation spot or just to get a solidified spot in the lineup every day?
I'm just gonna stick with the Blue Jays and Alek Manoah. He looked horrific in his first spring training start. People were comparing him to the like Wild Thing from Major League. I mean, just horrible. Three hit batters just looked awful. I mean, I keep saying it, but he's someone that needs to have a good spring training, or else I think the Blue Jays are gonna have to look to trade him. What they get for him. Maybe you get a team's like 20th best prospect, if that. But Alek Manoah, who struggled mightily last year because of the pitch clock, is struggling again. And this is a guy who was regarded as a Cy Young candidate not too long ago and who has now looked like a shell of himself.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like after that one comment about the pressure and the tires, and it just seems like everything has gone so downhill for him so fast at such a young age. Now he hit velocity in this last start, and he said that was a positive thing to look at, but still, you have to at least hit the zone somewhat. So you got to stop hitting batters. I think for the year that he was in contention for the Cy Young, finished third in the voting, he led the league in hit batters. And that's just one of the issues is his command, being able to find the zone. It's been a real issue for him throughout his entire time in the big leagues. And if he's not pitching well, you got to watch out if you're standing in the batter's box. And for your Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani just debuted this past Tuesday, and of course he hit a home run in his debut against the lowly White Sox. And then the next day, yesterday, Yoshinobu Yamamoto went two scoreless innings and looked really good. What are your thoughts on these new additions to the Dodgers lineup? Just like seeing them actually wear the Dodger blue and play it in game for the first time.
God, it was so weird seeing Shohei Ohtani in a Dodger uniform. Like, I always envisioned it. Just I would always hope for it, and I made a trip, few trips to Angel Stadium to see him play, but it just felt weird. And I know like it's gonna be like this for the next 10 years. It didn't look. It almost like being a Dodger fan. It almost just didn't look right. It's like it. I've only pictured him and seen him as an angel, but and then to hit the home run, I thought it was a pop up, and then it just traveled 440 feet over the wall. And then you're about Yamamoto. I mean, everyone knew what he was going to be, but everyone was like, wait, he's getting more than Gerrit Cole. Like, let's slow down a little bit. He's never pitched in the majors. And I mean, that splitter is just criminal. It's disgusting. Granted, he's going up against guys that were in AAA. So I don't really put a lot of, I don't put a lot on it. Like, it's cool that Yamamoto did well in his first spring training start, but I really don't care unless until he reaches that first start. But yeah, I mean, it was cool seeing the billion-dollar projects.
Yeah. I mean, with Yamamoto, he made Marcus Semien look silly in that first at bat. I watched that first at bat and Marcus Semien looked really uncomfortable. It's just that's one of the other aspects about it. It's just a new pitcher, and obviously it's not like teams obviously have the information, but when you're actually up there, it's way different.
And I also like Yamamoto's fastball isn't like it's a running fastball. Like it's not your traditional four seamer. So I think that I don't know. But it looked like that because it looked like Semien got fooled on the fastball. And that makes me think that like it's not your traditional four seam. Like the running fastball goes like this and then all of a sudden just like
Yeah.
jump at you, like will jump up. So that's what it felt like.
Yeah, because just watching him pitch, it looks like almost unorthodox, but it almost looks so seamless for him. Just seeing how he goes through his delivery, goes through his motion. It looks really fluid for him, but I don't know. Comparing it to other pitchers I've watched, like it looks a little bit unorthodox. One of the other additions was Juan Soto and how he's looked really good hitting third in the Yankees lineup. That top order of the Yankees lineup with could be LeMahieu, Judge, and Soto, that's actually really dangerous. And then if Stanton comes back into form, not even somewhat, but just being that pure power threat, that's a really dangerous sight for pitchers to see.
Well, yeah, but Stanton does need to get back. I mean,
Yeah.
he looked great last year, but you're right. Like that top four of LeMahieu, Judge, and Soto, I feel like it's underrated in the sense that the media isn't talking about it enough. And it's almost like with the Dodgers with Ohtani and Freeman hitting second and third, it's like you have to pitch to Judge because what are you going to do? Like you can't pitch around Judge because then it takes you to Soto. And I don't think people are realizing just how deadly that can be because not only like Judge, I view more as a power hitter. Like he'll get you a double or a triple here or there, a single, but he's more of a power guy where Soto can hit it out of the yard, but then also get you just extra base hits in general, whether it be a double or a triple. But it's crazy. No one talks about it. And that 1-2-3 can be deadly.
Yeah, that short porch is going to do damage. Just having Soto as a left-handed batter there,
Oh, and he's a pole hitter. He's a perfect pole hitter.
it's the perfect seamless fit for the Yankees, and it's going to be incredibly dangerous once the season starts going. With spring training starting, what do you personally look for as a fan when watching a spring training game? Are you only watching like the first couple innings when you see the major league players, or do you sometimes stick around to see some of the prospects?
Yes and no. Like I'll stick around like to see Yamamoto start yesterday. But I only really care about the prospects on the Dodgers that have a chance of making the team within this year. Cause I mean, I gotta love with you. There's too many guys on a baseball in a baseball organization that I still don't know half of the team. But I mainly watch the MLB guys see like how the transition's going from the offseason to now. And then if there's just a notable prospect that's out there, I'm like, all right, I'll watch a few at bats, see how he plays defensively.
Yeah, like when I'm watching the Jays, I'm looking for Aurelvis Martinez. I'm looking for Addison Barger. I'm just looking at those guys that are in the AAA level and seeing what they would look like when they're playing with some of the major league guys and even just on their own, like seeing some of their at bats, seeing how they approach. Because I'm gonna be real. I don't watch a lot of the Buffalo Bisons games. At most, I'll look at the play-by-play from MLB.com. I'll see that like when Manoah's starting down there, but that's about it when it comes to this is really the only real chance that I'm really gonna be able to see these players play, unless I'm a genuine minor league baseball fan that watches the Buffalo Bisons every day. So what are your top three prospects that you've been like personally, like just in the Dodgers system that you've been looking at?
We have so the dot like Miguel Vargas is someone on the Dodgers that was up with the team last year, but now it looks like he'll be playing left field if he does make it on the team, just given how much talent's in the infield. He usually plays in the infield. Another one that I'm looking at is Andy Páez, who I mentioned, another outfield power bat who, just due to the influx of talent, just hasn't been able to really do much. And then I guess another prospect that if you could still consider him one is Gavin Stone, who was with the Dodgers last year, like up in the major leagues last year, just because they were so injury riddled in the starting rotation. And this is a guy who could easily compete for the fifth spot. I don't want him in a reliever role, but I think he can make some noise for the fifth spot. He has the velocity, it's just the command.
Yeah, that's the real thing. Like, I feel like the most important when it comes to spring training is at least shores up your rotation for the first part of the season. Like, I remember last year, Yusei Kikuchi was, people weren't sure if Yusei Kikuchi was going to be either staying in that reliever role for the Blue Jays that he was at the end of his first year, or if he was going to play well enough in spring training to actually get that fifth starter spot. And for a majority of pitchers, I just feel like spring training is the most important for them just to see if they can keep their command, their velocity, and making really sure that they're able to be consistent. Because I know last year Kikuchi led in the entirety of spring training. I think it was in strikeouts, and he was one of the lowest in ERA. He had like a below one ERA. Granted, it's only like two inning outings, but still having the same consistency day in and day out, that's the most important thing when it comes to spring training, seeing these pitchers actually be consistent, because that's one of the hardest things in baseball is to find consistency with your pitching depth. Because most managers already have their lineup set. Like, I bet that there's the only real change you would see would be the bottom of the order. Like, the if Ohtani went 1 for 50 in spring, he's not going to start the day start the lineup in the middle of the season or the start of the season in like the fourth spot. What I feel like is the most important is those pitchers just having to really prove their spot, because a lot of them don't even have guaranteed roster spots once the season starts. They're able to be flexed from AAA. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about was throughout spring training, how often do you keep up with like the Dodgers score? Are you constantly looking at it, or are you?
I mean, I just get notifications on my phone from like the score app, and I'm like, oh, all right, like it's cool. And then like I'll just check and see like how pitchers are doing. 'Cause like to your point, like I'm just curious to see, 'cause for the Dodgers, at least they had a few pitchers last year who didn't pitch at all. So I'll just like check in and see like, oh, how's like the rehab start going, or how's the rehab appearance going, and just seeing what their stats are looking like.
Yeah, just because that's one of the other things about spring training is seeing players that are coming back from like a long injury. I don't know. I've always wanted to go watch a spring training game. I've always wanted to go down to Dunedin and just be in Florida for a couple of days and watch a spring training game. I know obviously the weather's not as good as Cali or even Arizona, where it's just a dry heat,
Yeah,
but
it's weirdly expensive though. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why spring training games are like, I was looking at spring training games are more expensive than the regular season games.
yeah. I looked up for just to see a random spring training game like in a week or two, and I was like, it's insane how just like a general admission ticket is like more than what it would be to go to the Rogers Center and watch a general admission ticket. It's crazy. It's more than $20, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I feel
I
like,
figured spring training would be like a $15 ticket. Like I thought it was like a chill thing like that, not like oh my God, like I'm spending $60 on a ticket.
I feel like one of the reasons is a lot of those ballparks have like the grass area where you can just like sit down and bring a towel or whatever. And that's one of the reasons why it's slightly more expensive. Because I'd love to go to one of those areas just like in the outfield. That seems like one of the best things. Just being able to watch like major league talent for half the game, and then it's like a triple A game breaking out or a double A game. That seems really cool, but it always happens at the end of reading week, so it's always like terrible to actually coordinate it. So what do you think about when pitchers have a terrible outing to start in spring training? Like, for example, Joe Musgrove giving up like 8 runs in the first inning against the Dodgers without like with just Mookie Betts playing.
I don't really look that much into it, just because like these guys are just getting back into the whole form, and like you could train for as long as you want and as hard as you want. Like training in the off season is nothing, is nothing compared to just playing in an actual game. So I don't really put much real estate into it, but I mean, for Joe Musgrove, like back-to-back starts is like that is a I think it's still okay to have a little cause for concern, just considering it happened in back-to-back starts. Had it only happened in one and then a subpar game two, I'm like, all right, like he's just feeling himself getting back into it. But I think there are times where you can be concerned, like in that instance. But if a batter goes like 0 for 20 with 10 strikeouts, like I don't really care. Like I don't know. I like that. I don't really put much real estate into it. But I think I put more into pitchers just because they're only used once every 5 days. And if you're not sharp in every start, like you're not going to be playing.
Yeah, one of the things about spring training is a lot of pitchers try out new pitches. They're trying out to add something new to their repertoire, and sometimes it's not even carried on into the regular season because they know it wasn't performing well for them in spring training. Either a player trying to add a cutter or a changeup or a splitter. I know Nate Pearson tried adding a splitter and he got it the first day of spring training. He got it sent back twice. So obviously, I know some pitchers will have rough outings, but a lot of the time it's because of they're adding new pitches, trying to see what they can add to their repertoire, because some relievers just have two pitches.
I never really thought of it like that. Or like, yeah, because no one really cares about if you're like to your point, if you're a solidified roster spot, you don't care about how your spring training performance is. If anything, you're just using this to see, hey, like, could this work in a game?
Yeah, trying to see if you can add a new pitch that just gives you another layer to what teams would have to scout for. One of the last things I'll ask you about, it's not really a spring training question, it's more of a regular season question. How do you feel about the Dodgers regular season starting so early compared to other teams starting all the way like March 20th, I think it starts? So how do you feel about like that whole start of the season in Korea?
It's gonna be cool, like that they get to play in Korea. And I saw like if everything shapes out correctly, game one would be Yamamoto versus Darvish, which I think would be absolutely cool. And I think it's great for baseball to expand the game, and you bring two teams that have a ton of Asian players on their rosters. And I think it's a great way just to grow the game. And the players don't seem fazed by it. Like, yes, it sucks. You have a shorter spring training. You had to report earlier, but look, at the end of the day, like it's just another game. I mean, I know not, it's going to count towards the regular season standings if I'm correct. At the end of the day, like you get to go to Seoul, South Korea, and not many players in the MLB say they can do that. So I think it's really cool, and I'm sure the Dodgers are going to love it because they can make so much more money, and they can bring a new fan base to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I think one of the other cool things about it is you have Ha-Seong Kim on the Padres, and he's like one of the most popular Korean players ever, like around Korea. And that's really cool to have one of those homegrown talents from that country going back to play a meaningful baseball game, not just like a spring training game. This will be a full 9 innings, actual game that counts towards the regular season. I think that's going to be really cool just for the fans there and for the kids looking to grow up to be one of those players, even if it's in the KBO or if they do come around to the MLB. It's really cool just seeing those kinds of players go back to their home country just to have a meaningful baseball game that can inspire so many kids.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you bring in Ohtani and Yamamoto. Japan isn't that far from South Korea. You bring those two guys as well from the Dodgers. You also have Hugh Darvish. I can't remember the guy's name, but the Padres signed another reliever that came from the KBO. So it's good. I think if the MLB picked the two perfect teams, so I think it'll be fun, and I'll be up at 6 a.m. rooting for my Dodgers.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's just the early start time. You could be going to class one day and the Dodgers are already either playing a game still or already won the game.
Yeah, already won the game. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
what I won.
I think that'll be it for this episode. Thank you once again to my co-host, Evan Davis, and thank you all for listening to this episode of the Breaking News Bears podcast. And we'll catch you all next time.